The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. I'm Tom Bosley. Welcome to the magic world of radio. Today, it's the story of Oliver Twist, that great book by Charles Dickens. Oliver's adventures are not the kind you can condense into an hour of magical radio. The whole novel is so alive, the people so real, you should read the whole book from cover to cover. Having said that, nevertheless, I think you'll be fascinated as we bring you memorable moments from Oliver's life. And if you've never heard of Oliver Twist, after this program, believe me, you'll never forget him. Our adventure story, The Adventures of Oliver, was adapted from Oliver Twist, Charles Dickens' classic novel, for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by G. Frederick Lewis. I'll return in a moment with Act One.
All work!
In England, 100 years ago, children who had no family were often assigned to workhouses and forced to work long hours for no pay. They were given only the most miserable of meals and bedding. Oliver Twist was born in such a workhouse. His mother had been found unconscious by the roadside, and she was taken in by the workhouse and died soon after Oliver was born. Her name was unknown. Oliver got his name from Bumble, the man who ran the workhouse. Oliver was starved and kicked, and finally ran away, walking miles and miles to the big city. He arrived outside of London very early one morning and huddled in a doorway, lonesome and hungry. A boy wearing a funny hat, a dirty face, and a man's coat came up to him.
Hello, my friend. What's the matter with you?
I'm very hungry and tired. I've been walking for 7 days.
Walking for 7 days? Oh, I see. Beaks all there. I suppose you don't know what a beak is.
Yes, I do. Part of a bird. The front part.
How green you are. A beak is a judge.
Oh. If you mean was I chased out of where I live? Certainly not, sir. I ran away.
Well, come with me. You want food, and you shall have it. Sir, you're going to London?
I am. I hope to.
Oh, that's your ticket. Yeah, eat up. Mm. Ham and bread to stuff you like a goose. You got any lodgings?
Pocket and a mock diamond pin in my shirt. There. I buttoned my coat about me. Oh, it's a windy day. Put my spectacle case and my handkerchief in my pockets and take my stick out and go for my morning promenade. Now, good Oliver, watch the Dodger and Charlie try to get the best of the old gentleman. See? As I walk, I keep a sharp eye round me for fear of thieves.
What is it? Oh, boys,
beg pardon, sir. I'm very sorry, sir.
Oh, help, help, pickpocket. Oh, dear me.
Well, will you look at that, Oliver? They've removed the snuff box, the notecase, the shirt pin, the pocket handkerchief. Did you ever see such dexterity? I'll tell you, that's our little game. We play it every morning. Boys, off you go. The day is young, and there are many games to be played.
Bye, sir.
Goodbye, boys. Good boys, good boys. Good boys. Make them your models, my dear Oliver. Make them your models.
Sir, Mr. Fagin, you called out pickpocket. Is that not against the law?
Only against the law if you're caught. Otherwise, it is a game. And now, come over here, and I'll show you how to take the initials out. of the handkerchiefs.
Don't walk so fast, Oliver. Keep an easy step with Charlie and me.
It's because it's my first day in the fresh air, Mr. Dodger, after such a long while indoors.
Ah, but you were learning.
Was I indeed, Mr. Blights? Mr. Fagin said it was a game we played every day.
Every day, every day.
Practice makes perfect, as they say.
But what was I perfecting?
How to snatch handkerchiefs. Into the doorway.
What is that?
Do you see that old man across the street?
The old gentleman in the bookstore? Yes, I see him.
A prime plant.
Ain't he nobly dressed in his green coat and collar and white trousers?
Where you going?
Come along and stand behind us.
And watch.
I shall stand away here. Goodness, that dyke in his handkerchief from his pocket. Charlie! Dodger, wait for me!
Stop him! Stop him!
They are saving him!
Call that boy! Stop him!
Bring the boy in and search him.
I have searched him, your worship, but found nothing.
Then lock him up till I'm ready to hear the case.
This way, boy.
I didn't steal anything, on my word.
Are you the party that's been robbed, sir?
I am, but I'm not sure this boy actually took the handkerchief. I would rather not press the case.
I'm afraid it's too late for that, sir.
There's something in that boy's face. Can he be innocent? That look on him. Bless my soul. Where have I seen that look before?
You will all step forward before the judge.
What is the matter here?
A young pickpocket, it would seem, your worship.
May I say something?
Who are you?
My name, sir, is Brownlow.
Officer, what is this fellow charged with?
He is not charged at all, your worship. He appears against the boy.
Yes, against the boy, does he? What's the charge against the boy?
Officer, sir, I took charge, searched the boy, and found nothing on his person. And that is all I know about it.
Are there any witnesses?
None, your worship.
Well, you, sir. What do you have to say?
In the surprise of the moment, I ran after the boy because I saw him running. Then he was thrown to the ground, and if your worship would look at him, he looked sickly and pale. I fear he really is ill.
Yes, I dare say. What is your name, young vagabond? What?
The boy looks very faint, sir.
Yes, what is your name, you hardened scoundrel?
Tom White, your worship.
No! That is the fifth Tom White we've had in 2 days.
Please, sir, may I have a drink of water?
No, stop it, nonsense. Don't try to make a fool of me.
I think the lad really is ill, your worship.
I know better.
Officer, take care. He looks as though he'll fall down.
Send away. Let him fall if he likes. He is faking. Yes, let him lie there. He'll soon be tired of that.
Your worship, how do you propose to deal with the case?
Summarily. He stands committed for 3 months. It's hard labor, of course. Clear the room.
Stop! Stop! Don't take the boy away! Oh, for heaven's sake, stop a moment!
Yes, who is this? Turn this man out! Clear the room!
I will speak! I will not be turned out, sir! I saw it all! I keep the bookstore!
That's all right, all right! What have you got to say?
I saw 3 boys, 2 others, and the prisoner here, loitering on the opposite side of the road when this gentleman was reading. The robbery was committed by another boy. I saw it done. I thought this boy was perfectly amazed and stupefied by it.
Well, why didn't you come here before?
I hadn't a soul to mind the shop.
The man here was reading, was he, outside your store?
Yes, the very book he has in his hand.
Oh.
Mr. Brownlow is one of my best customers.
The boy is discharged. Clear the room.
Oliver Twist is discharged, and Mr. Brownlow takes charge. The boy is put to bed at Mr. Brownlow's. A doctor is called, and he's brought back to health. But Fagin and Bill Sykes, what of them? Are they likely to feel at ease or safe with Oliver out of their hands and possibly an informer against them? I'll be back shortly with Act Two. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. In his day, Charles Dickens was accused of exaggeration, but he said, "Only walk the streets of London if you will. Only enter our courts, our almshouses, and you will see Oliver and those who seek to exploit him." At last, Oliver seems to have found peace. Living with Mr. Brownlow was the first orderly and sane life he had ever known. His health improved slowly from the very first day.
What room is this? Where am I?
You must be very quiet, or you will be ill again.
Are you not the gentleman who preferred charges against me?
It was all a mistake. How are you?
Much better, I believe. I'm very grateful for your goodness, sir, to me.
You feel like some broth, Tom White?
My name is Oliver, sir.
Oliver? Oliver White?
No, sir. Twist. Oliver Twist.
Peculiar name.
Why do you look at me so strangely?
Turn around, Oliver.
Hmm?
Look on the wall over your head. The picture of that lady. The eyes, the mouth. Every feature is quite the same as you. Even to the expression. Bless me. The boy has fainted.
Ja, where is the boy? Eh? Where is Oliver?
Let go of me. He ran. He got nabbed.
What are you up to, Fagin? Ill-treating the boys?
Yes, what will we do, Sharks? I'm afraid the boy will say something and we'll all get nabbed.
Somebody must find out what's been doing at the police. Nance, come here. We'll dress her up. She'll go.
Where will I go?
Only just to the police office, my dear.
I'm blessed if I do.
Young Oliver's so green, he lifted a wipe and he ran for it. Got nabbed.
Nobody about here knows anything of you. You be his sister. Act the part.
We'll put you in a clean white apron, a straw bonnet. You won't know yourself so clean. Come on now, you're an actress. What do you say?
Oh, my brother. My poor, dear, sweet, innocent little brother. What has become of him? Where have they taken him to? Oh, do a pity and tell me what's been done with dear little Oliver. Oh, please, gentlemen, help me. How's that?
Oliver, I have received a parcel of books from my book dealer. Here are two books which are to go back, and the poor dealer must be paid. I wish you to perform the errand, Oliver.
You wish me to go out now, sir?
I do. Tell him I shall keep the others, and here is £4.10 I owe him. This is a £5 note, so you will have to bring me back 10 shillings change.
I won't be 10 minutes, sir. 15 at the very most. Is this Clerkenwell? Oh, I've come the wrong way round. This is not the way to the bookstore. But if I could take you through here. Oh, my dear brother, I've found you. I've found you after all these long weeks. Oh, Oliver, come home, dear. Let me go. Let
What's
me
the matter
go.
Here? What's the matter?
I don't belong to her.
You ain't kidnapping, are you, miss, this boy here?
Oh, no, sir. This is my brother. He ran away a month ago from his parents. Almost broke his poor mother's heart.
Oh, you little brute.
I don't know her. I haven't any sister or father or mother either. I'm an orphan.
Yeah. What's the devil is this, eh? Young Oliver.
I found him. Now he won't come back to his poor mother.
Come along.
Help me, somebody. Won't any of you in the street help me? He's hurting me. I don't belong to them. Help me, someone. I'm being taken against my will.
Come along, Oliver. You should
help
be grateful we don't
help
turn you
me.
In.
Help.
Brought you your little Oliver.
Well, welcome. Delighted to see you looking so well, my little boy.
Look at his togs, Fagin. Superfine cloth and a swell cut and books, too. Nothing but a gentleman.
And a fiver. Oliver comes with a bread and butter present, Fagin.
What's that? That's mine.
Man.
You may keep the books if you're fond of reading. If you ain't, sell them.
They belong to the kind old gentleman who took me into his house and had me nursed when I was near dying of the fever. I'll send them back, and the money. Keep me here all my life long, sir. Send them back. He'll think I stole them.
Yes, you're right. They will think you have stolen them.
Help! Help!
Get him, Bullseye!
Take that dog back, Bill! Get him back! You'll tear the boy to pieces!
Serve him right.
The dog! Don't be killed by the dog! Unless you kill me first!
What is the matter with you, Nancy?
The girl's gone mad.
No, I haven't. And don't you think so, Bacon? I won't stand to have you abuse that boy. Let him be.
Dear Nancy, you're acting beautifully.
I wish I'd been struck dead in the street before I'd lend a hand in bringing him here. From this night forth, he's a thief, a liar, all that's bad.
Now, if we all calm down, Charlie, show Oliver to bed. Now, have him take off those nice new clothes which we'll keep for him to wear Sundays. Hey, Oliver, you must be thankful you're home at last.
Of the house at Chertsey.
As Toby tells me, there is beautiful silver there. He's never seen anything like it. When, Bill?
Well, it can't be a put-up job as we expected.
None of the servants on the inside will lend a hand.
Toby says no. Is it worth 50 shiners extra if it's done safely from the outside?
Yes, 50. A bargain.
All we need is a centre bit on a young boy. The first we can get. The second, you must find us to open a door.
Yes, what about Oliver? He's been in good training these last few weeks. You know, it's time he began to work for his bread.
He's the size I want.
If you frighten him enough, Bill, he'll do everything you want. Take him with you.
Keys, centre bits, crowbar.
Have him.
I'll bring them bits of timber, Dodger. All right, you first, up the wall. We shan't be seen from the house if you climb here.
All right, the boy next. Hoist him up, Bill. I'll catch his hands.
Oh,
I got him. All right, we'll jump down, Bill. You follow.
Do you know? Housebreaking, robbery, pistols. Oh, please do not make me a part of this.
Get up, Oliver.
Oh, let me go. Let me run away. Die in the fields. I will never come near London. Have mercy on me. Do not make me steal.
Come along with me, my dear little sparrow. Makes your eyes pop a bit, doesn't it? My fingers on your windpipe.
For the love of all the bright angels, have mercy upon me.
Here's the crowbar, Bill. Have at the shutter of the little window.
Right. Bring the boy here, Dodger.
Come on.
Now, listen, Oliver. I'm going to hoist you up and put you through that little window. And then hand you over this lantern. Now go softly up the steps straight before you. And along the little hall to the street door. Unfasten it and let us in.
There's a bolt at the top, Toby said. If you can't reach, stand on one of the old chairs.
Right, up you go. You got hold of the sills?
Yes.
All right. Let yourself down inside, quietly. Then put your hand out for the lantern. Here's the lantern. All right, turn around. You see the stairs?
Yes.
Listen.
What's that?
Nothing.
All right, Oliver. Go.
Wait.
Clear. Give me a shawl here, Dodger. They've hit him. Quick, the boy's hurt.
We can't carry him. He'll nab us.
The Dodger and Bill Sykes escaped, but they could not take Oliver far and dropped him into a ditch covered with a cape. When all was quiet, Oliver managed to crawl to the house of a friend of Mr. Brownlow's. In a moment, I'll return with Act Three. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. In most of Dickens' early novels, the plot thickens and thickens. Now, this Mr. Brownlow, who befriended Oliver, turned out to have been the best friend of Oliver's real father, who'd left a portrait of the boy's mother in Brownlow's safekeeping before he died. Also unknown to Oliver, he had a half-brother who had been paying Fagin to turn him into a criminal, and in that way he would never learn the identity of his parents or the amount of his inheritance. But there was one person in Fagin's dishonest crew genuinely interested in little Oliver, and at the risk of her own life tried to help. She was Nance. Fagin had discovered this.
I've got something to tell you, Bill.
Well, look sharp. I have to meet Nance.
Suppose someone was stealing out at night to inform against us. What would you do?
I'd grind his skull under the eye on the heel of my boot.
And if it were me?
I don't care who.
Charlie or the Dodger?
Whoever it was.
If it were Nance?
Nance?
Word has been brought to me that she has informed on us tonight.
Nance?
Ask her.
Let me out.
Bill, now you would be violent.
What?
I mean, not too violent for safety. Be crafty, Bill, and not too bold.
Get up, Nancy.
Is it you, Bill? I'm glad to see you, even though it is late.
Get up.
Why do you look at me like that?
I told you to get out of bed.
You're hurting me, Bill. Tell me what I've done.
You know, you were watched tonight. Every word you said was heard.
Bill, dear Bill, I've been true to you.
Who did you speak to? What did you say?
It's the boy Oliver. Fagin is bound to find him and bring him back and never let him go. It's monstrous to keep that child, that innocent, only for gold. And Bill, they've found out. And you'll be thought an accomplice.
So you're taught.
Oh, Bill, let us both leave this dreadful place and go live better lives. forget how we have lived, except in prayers. It's never too late to repent.
Me?
Oh, no!
What's that? Bullseye! How did you find me? Bullseye, get away from her. Come back. Here, Bullseye, your feet are all covered in blood. They'll find the tracks and she'll be discovered. I got a doorway with you. Here, let's clean your feet. And then we'll go out and find us a little pond and a little rock around your neck. Here, old chum. Come to Bill. He's gone. I can't look at her skin and blood. Her eyes, they're watching me. Those eyes of hers.
A week. It's been a whole week and they haven't found him, the monster.
It's hue and cry all over London. They took Fagin 2 o'clock this afternoon. I was lucky to make it up the chimney till they were gone. You saw Nance?
What's left? That poor, poor girl.
Each night at this time, that dog lies under the table and cries for him.
The only living soul that would shed a tear.
Every night for a week since he ran in the house.
What's that?
Sykes, you think? The police? It couldn't be Bill. He never knocked like that.
Oh, it is him. Listen to Bullseye. The dog knows it's him. I don't want to see him.
Oh, we have to let him in.
Why?
I'll take this candle.
Well, you took your time. Oh, let me rest. To be on the run. How did that dog come here?
He's been here a week.
I hear Fagin's been arrested. Is it true or a lie?
True.
You mean to sell me or to let me lie here till this hunt is over?
You may stop here if you think it's safe.
Is the body, Nance, is she buried?
No.
Why isn't she?
I can't stay in the same room with him. Let me go outside.
Charlie, don't you know me?
I never knew you. Don't come nearer to me. Dodger, I'm not afraid of him. If they come here after him, I'll give him up. He may kill me for it, but if I am here, I'll give him up. Murderer! Help! He's here! The monster murderer is here!
He's here! Break down the door! He was spotted coming in! In the king's name!
Is the downstairs door fast?
Double locked and chained.
The panels, are they strong?
Lined with sheet iron.
All right, let me out this window. They can't get the downstairs door open.
Dodger, you have the key.
No.
Where's Bill?
Out the window on the roof.
All right. Give me a rope. A long rope. They're all out in front. If I can lower myself down to the back from the chimney, I'll clear off that way. Hurry. Find me a rope or I'll do 2 more murders.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will give £50 to the man who takes Sykes alive.
Can you see? What's he doing?
He's got a rope around the chimney. Now he's making a loop of the other end for his waist. He's slipping it over his head, under his arm.
He's on the other side. He's coming down by rope. Close eyes and hands.
Indeed.
Oh, God, look. Close the window, Charlie. Did you hear? What was it Bill yelled before he fell?
Something about those eyes of hers.
Those eyes of hers? Yeah. Then he stepped back like he'd seen something. Threw his arms over his head like he was going to be hit. And the noose slipped up under his chin. When he lost his balance,
he hanged himself.
He must be there now, dangling from the chimney.
Doc, what's the name of this place?
Newgate, Fagin.
How long have I been here? If it wasn't for the meals, how would I know the passage of days? Oh, Newgate prison is dark. Dark as death. Oh, so many turned against me. King's evidence. Accessory before the fact. The trial.
We find the defendant guilty, my lord.
Guilty? How could they find that? I'll never prove that.
To be hanged by the neck until dead.
Oh, hanged by the neck. How many men spent their last hours in this cell? Sitting in a grave strewn with dead bodies. When was it Saturday? And I had one more day to live. Ooh, how long ago. Guard! Guard!
Yes, Fagin.
What day is it?
It is Sunday.
Sunday? Today? Sunday? When?
In 2 hours.
Oh, death comes too slowly. I cannot wait for him.
Mr. Brownlow?
We have an order signed by the sheriff.
Is the young gentleman to come too, sir? It's not a sight for children.
It is not indeed. But my business with Fagin is intimately connected with the boy. This child knows him well, even at the cost of some pain and fear. He should see him now.
I'm not afraid.
Fagin, you have visitors. I shall enter with you two and stand between you and the prisoner.
Good boy, Charlie. Well done. Oliver. Well, Oliver, too. Quite the gentleman now. Take that boy away to bed.
Mr. Brownlow is not in command of himself.
Fagin, it's me, Brownlow. Can you hear me?
Eh? I know no Brownlow.
Sir, tell him what you want, quick, please.
Fagin, you have some papers which were placed in your hands by a man called Monk.
It's all a lie. I haven't won. When I lost Oliver, they stopped paying me. I have no papers.
Do not say that upon the very verge of death. Tell me where they are. You know that Sykes is dead. Monk has confessed. You have 2 hours on this earth and no hope of further gain. Where are those papers?
Oliver, here. Come over here, Oliver. Let me whisper to you.
I'm not afraid.
The papers, my dear, which tell of your mother and father, where are they? Yes, those papers are in a canvas bag in an hole a little way up the chimney in the front room.
Let me say a prayer. Mr. Fagin, say one with me. Upon your knees, with me.
Upon my knees?
Oh, Lord, forgive this wretched man.
No, you cry tears. Now, that will help us on, Oliver. If I shake and tremble as we pass the gallows, don't you mind, but hurry on.
Have you nothing else to ask him, sir?
No other question. I had hoped...
He is past understanding. It is just as well.
The papers were found and Oliver's inheritance secured. Mr. Brownlow devoted himself to the boy, as Charles Dickens writes upon the last page, filling the mind of his adopted child with stores of knowledge. I have said that they were truly happy. Stay with us till I return for a little insight into the mind of the genius who conceived this story. It's hard to believe that Charles Dickens, certainly the most popular novelist of all time, buried in Westminster Abbey at the age of 68, was only 25 years old when he wrote Oliver Twist. He wrote straight, as we would say, like it was. His pictures of poverty, of crime, of vice are drawn with no sentimentality. His London of the 1830s was real. And as I said when we began, read the entire book. It's truly an experience.
Our cast included Evie Juster, Court Benson, Bob Caliban, Earl Hammond, and Gil Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.